This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by MyFantasyBands.com. Fun decorative decals for your theme park wristbands. Easy to apply, durable, waterproof, resistant to fading and scratching. Visit MyFantasyBands.com and be sure to use discount code DisneyNerds20 for 20% off. MyFantasyBands.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 119 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome to the show. This week's show, we're going to try something a little different. A little history. I used to have another podcast called the We're Going to Walt Disney Podcast, and we had this great, great bit. We would do the Wheel of Attractions. Well, guess what? Tonight, we are going to be spinning the Wheel of Attractions, and we're glad you're here to help us. On the show tonight, we've got Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. How's it going, Sam?
It is going great, and I have to say, I get nervous any time Ed, you, or Jimmy says, we're going to do something a little different this show. But I'm up for it. Let's go.
Oh, this will be fun. This will be a great time. We also have Jimmy from Once Upon a Time Travel. Jimmy, how's it going?
I am fantastic. I'm so excited to hear you. You whipped the cover off of the wheel and brought it back out of retirement. We've never done a Wheel of Attraction show on this podcast before.
No, we haven't. This will be the first one.
So you're taking the cover off the wheel, Ed? Is this behind your desk? Where is this thing?
Well, let me explain. When we were doing the other podcast, it was myself and the kids, and we were trying to come up with an idea that we could do some type of trivia type of contest where we could throw something out and then get as much information about it from the other people on the podcast. The trick with that was one person had to have the answer already in his head, so it wouldn't work out that well. Well, the way we figured out finally to get around that was to use the carnival wheel. What we did is we found a big carnival wheel that we mounted in the office, and we have every ride from Walt Disney World located on it. Every ride, attraction, things you want to see. So what we'll do is we spin the wheel, and wherever it lands, we then talk about it. We discuss everything we know about it. We do a total brain dump. And it's interesting because you know what? There's a lot of times we hit something we've never done before. The fun part is hearing the stories that we're going to get from some of the rides we've been on a lot. So either way, it's fresh, it's random, and I think we're going to have a fun time.
I'm excited.
Let's do it. So you reach back and give it a spin? Is that the next step here?
Well, here's the thing I had to do for this show. Because we're located in different parts of the country, yeah. I set up little buzzers, buttons in each of your offices there. So when it's your turn to spin the wheel, I'm going to ask you to hit that button. That button's going to trigger the wheel in my office. It's going to start spinning, and we're going to see what attraction it'll land on.
So you have all of the attractions at Walt Disney World on this wheel, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Let's go for it. So you're not going to throw us off with like something from Paris or something from Shanghai that hasn't opened yet. This is all Walt Disney World, all four parks that spin the sucker.
Correct. Here we go.
All right.
And I think let's have Sam, you do it. So go ahead and hit the buzzer.
All right. Let's do it.
And there it goes. Okay. So it spins pretty fast and it goes for a little while. And as it goes, we're going to kind of see what's going to happen.
There's lots of attractions.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for something like Space Mountain or something.
Slowing down. And it is... Whoa. It's tough to be a bug.
Oh, neat.
Right. So, starting out right away, Animal Kingdom. It's tough to be the bug underneath the big Tree of Life.
Inside the Tree of Life, yeah.
I'm kind of happy with this one because I've only done this attraction twice, but I recently did it on our last trip.
Nice.
Oh, awesome. And I tell you what, the first thing that I hit with this attraction, really, and it's kind of evil, is this is the ride I like to watch because it's the one that new families have the hardest time on.
Good point.
Yeah.
We had a hard time with the kids, and it's one of those rides that really just shocks those little guys because it's tough to be a bug. Looks like such a fun ride. And, well, they have a little kind of scary parts to it.
Now, even before you get inside, I love the queue for this attraction.
Definitely.
Because this is the closest that you can actually get to the Tree of Life, where you can finally start to make out and see the details that are in this thing, the different animals, and you can see things that you just can't see unless you're in this queue. So I really love the queue for – and even though it says 5-minute wait typically because there's a pre-show that you go through, right? It's a 3D show, very similar to Muppet Vision in the way that it's set up. But the queue, just take your time and take in all those animals. So many photo opportunities. Unbelievable.
There are. So another thing cool about the line is these Broadway-type posters. And it's really cool because instead of like Beauty and the Beast, it would be Beauty and the Bees or something like that. That's, and they're really cool because you go around and you see all these really cool posters.
That's actually one of the songs on if you get the Disney Parks soundtrack. One of the songs on it is Beauty and the Bees, and it's like the bee singing, basically humming.
I have heard that.
That's cool. That's the song that's playing while you're fouling into the theater, right?
Correct.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, I like that a lot.
I also think, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, so that queue line going into It's Tough to Be a Bug is also an adventure, because you could get hit with a branch from the Tree of Life itself. I remember about two or three years ago, there was a big news story about that during a storm, a branch had fallen off, and so now they've installed netting actually above you to where if something like that happens, nobody gets hit with a branch.
Yeah, okay. They did some refurbishments around there too.
Yeah.
But I do. What do you guys think of the attraction itself? So obviously there's a little queue area. You put on your bug glasses and then foul your way into the theater. As you mentioned, there's some scary spots in this attraction for the little guys.
Oh, sure. Oh, no doubt. I mean, the show is perfect. You have the bugs entertaining, and they all have their personalities based on what type of bug they are. The spiders, yeah, a little touchy. Coming down from the ceiling,
yeah,
a little scary.
It's a little freaky.
A little scary.
I agree.
I'll tell you, but not as bad as getting stung by the hornets at the end.
So on this last trip, I was smart enough to kind of sit up a little bit in my seat. So I didn't get it, but I didn't bother telling Kim to remind Kim about it, so she got it.
Well, that's the best part about it.
Watching everybody else right. is absolutely the best part of that attraction. Watching them get stung in the back, and then when they allow the – I forget how they say it in the attraction, but they allow the bugs to leave first, and they crawl across your
– Oh, right.
I love that. And you can see the wave of people. Yeah, the wave of people reacting to it as it comes up the theater. That is funny. That is funny. I will say, if I can, the animatronic for Hopper in this attraction is pretty impressive.
I was just about to say that. That's the picture that just came to my mind. And it was one of the most complicated animatronics to date when they put this attraction together.
I was going
to
say it's probably still, you know, pretty much at the top of the list when it comes to animatronics in Walt Disney World.
It's a good one. For sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think we have a cameo in this attraction, too, by Cheech Marin, Cheech and Chong fame. Doesn't he play the big tarantula?
Yes, I believe so.
Nice.
He's in the movie. He plays the same role in the movie, I think, right? Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't remember Spider from the movie.
Yeah, maybe that's not true. So I'm not 100% sure.
So that's kind of cool. And what else? Anything else?
The dung beetle is pretty disgusting.
They're very funny.
Yeah, they're funny. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, sure. No. The whole story from beginning to end is great. The curtain of butterflies is fabulous. The spotlights, which are the lightning bugs, are really cool. I mean, all around, I think it's a great attraction. I think it's a perfect location. I think because of where it is, it's probably not going to be going anywhere. I don't think they can really easily modify that space. And I hardly ever see a huge line for it.
No, it's
a lot like Muppet Vision, where it is a big theater. There's a lot of people in there. So the posted wait time is usually 5 minutes because it's going to take you 10 minutes to walk through that queue to get back there. And then you're just going to wait for the next pre-show, which you might walk right into or you might have to wait for it.
And the theater swallows up so many people at once.
It does. Cool. I do remember the stink bug in there is one of my family's favorites, especially my little guy.
Did you notice that's the same flavor of stink as Stitch's Great Escape, as the Stitch's ride? Because when he does the chili dog burp, it's almost the same exact flavor. It's crazy bad.
So then is it the same as the skunk over in Imagination?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
So you know what they use to make the smell in Figment?
I do not know.
The skunk smell? It's burnt coffee.
Huh.
I remember you saying that.
I thought it was a skunk. I remember where I got this morning. Yeah, it smells like a skunk, but it's actually burnt coffee.
Wow.
I actually, the last couple times on any of these, I always hold my breath during those times. I really don't even go for the smell anymore.
I think they toned down the smell in Stitch's Great Escape, which is off topic, but I remember it being much worse than it was the last time. But I think so many people complained about it. I think they backed off.
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But it was good being horrible. Yeah. That's like the point. Yeah. Okay, well anyway, It's a Bug's Life, a great attraction and for what it is. Hardly ever await. Really matches the movie character wise and fun wise.
You know, it's a must do if you're headed to Animal Kingdom. I mean,
it is.
It's a good one.
And
the
I tell you
like
what,
it's worth it.
And we'll usually do it on the way out. This usually ends up being one of our last attractions to go to. Somehow it ends up, I don't know why, on the way in, it just never even enters my mind. Because you're trying to go to Everest or the Safari, I guess. But, you know, on the way out, for us always.
Yep.
That worked really well. I think we should do another spin on the wheel. Jimmy, I tell you what. Yeah, lift up that cover of that switch, push the button.
Make it hit the right one, dude.
The other one's an eject button.
Yeah, be careful.
Right. All right.
Here we go. Okay, it's spinning. Hopefully get something in a different park this time around, but you never know.
That'd be awesome.
Slowing down.
Still hoping for Space Mountain.
And it's...
My back hurts just thinking about it, Jimmy.
Jedi Training Academy.
The new one or the old one?
Well, I think that's all part of the topic.
Nice.
This is basically a brain dump of whatever you have on Jedi Training Academy. Right now, the video I've just seen recently on Facebook comes to my head first. They had a little Padawan,
about
2 feet tall, that was incredibly out of control versus against Darth Vader. He was like swinging the saber left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, would not stop. His Jedi trainer tried to get him to stop, still wouldn't stop. A couple of the clone troopers came up, or the stormtroopers came up
right
to stop him, and they got. And it was funny because the one stormtrooper was off to the side. It looked like he was almost crying, but he was rolling on the floor laughing. He was having such a great time with that.
Was he rolling on the floor laughing?
He was laughing.
I thought he
was
got smacked in the jewels.
No, he was over there and he was like just laughing his ass off. He was like, "This kid is great."
That was a great video.
But a Jedi Academy in Hollywood Studios, right next to the Star Tours, and it's been there for, I don't know, I want to say like 5 or 6 years now, and they've just done a major improvement on it this past season.
Yeah, so this thing started for Star Wars weekends 5 or 6 years ago, as you mentioned, and it became so popular that they built a permanent stage, and it became part of Hollywood Studios, right? This is the attraction where youngsters or younglings have the ability to train to be a Jedi. You have to be, I believe it's under 13 to participate. You sign up first thing in the morning, and you'll get a time slot later in the day to come over and train with the Jedi and ultimately face one of the bad guys like Darth Vader, which is really cool, or Darth Maul, or the Seventh Sister, as they've
Seventh
converted
Sister,
to today.
Right?
Yeah.
From the new Star Wars Rebels TV show.
Yes.
The cartoon.
So a little earlier this year, as part of the Star Wars overlay at Hollywood Studios, they redesigned Jedi Training. In fact, it was down for at least a month, and it's been completely redesigned and turned into a Jedi temple. So when you look at Star Tours, you can see the temple. It looks like something that would have been out of the newer movies, where now you're headed to the Jedi temple to train. It looks like they smashed a few extra episodes in, and now with multiple bad guys, it looks like you can get more kids through this thing at the same time, which is kind of
– And it's nice because the multiple levels keeps it a little bit safe, so they can have more than the one line going of Jedi Padawan now as opposed to the one line waiting to go against Darth Vader himself.
Exactly.
So really good, and it's funny to see the increments of improvement over the years too. it went out in the beginning where they had a cast member with a clipboard basically in front of the attraction during the day where you would sign up with them and then you would wait around to get into the attraction for your turn. Then they took over the Drew Carey studio.
Yep.
Used that as their base of operations where you go there, check in. And now I believe, is it a fast pass option now?
It's not a fast pass, but the sign up moved. It's now over by the 50s Primetime Cafe, sort of on the between the 50s and the exit for Indiana Jones. That's where the sign up is for it now because they're doing some things over in the other location.
Mm.
But yeah, it's definitely popular. The kids love it. It's part of the Star Wars lore there at Hollywood Studios, and it looks pretty cool. I wish I could do it.
I know. Did you mention they give them Jedi robes?
They get the robes. They get their own lightsaber, and they get trained on them, and it's always pretty cool to watch it. I did experience the new one. I recorded it and kind of watched it. The second or third day that it opened, I happened to be down there. And it's different, but it's still the same type of thing. The kids love it.
Right. Very cool. And just because we're tied in with Star Wars real quick, I just saw before we recorded, there was a post on Facebook that Harrison Ford is going to be hosting a show in February that's going to be announcing the new Star Wars overlay in Hollywood Studios or in Disneyland. So the Star Wars Land.
Nice.
So it's the wonderful – it's going to be the wonderful world of Disneyland 60.
Okay.
With Master of Ceremonies Derek Hough. It's airing on ABC on February 21st at, it looks like, 8 p.m. Check your listing, though.
I need to set my DVR right now.
DVR.
Right now I need to set that. Hold on. I'll be right
back. A little more information here. Actually, I think Elton John's going to be playing during this. I mean, it's supposed to be a big deal.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
Can he fill him up tonight with a Star Wars?
Because he's old. So Los Angeles Philharmonic conducted music and artist director Gustavo Dudamel will join the celebration performing The Sorcerer's Apprentice from a Walt Disney acclaimed animated film Fantasia. Previously announced Wonderful World of Disney, Disneyland 60 participants include Elton John, Josh Gad, and Whitney Carson. I don't know who Whitney Carson is, but Josh Gad is obviously Olaf.
Nice. I see this right now, and this is only 2 hours old. This is great. Thank you.
Yeah. So
sure. Yep. Get it set.
That's good. Yeah, good stuff.
Okay, well, back to the Padawan training, the Jedi training. Anything else to add about that?
I've been
I think it's
I've been just a little bit quiet on this one. My kids are a little bit older, so since this has been around, I've watched it. I think it's very cool. If they would let me do it, I would. but, you know, I've never really had any personal experience with it other than walking by and stopping for a couple minutes to watch.
So I can add one thing that I thought was somewhat interesting. My nephew did this recently when I was with him, and we went through the whole process. And I have to say that even in this new iteration, they've done a very good job of integrating photo pass photographers into this to the point where there's a roped off area directly in front of the stage and there's a photo pass person on a stool that has wheels. And he literally will shoot himself back and forth along the bottom, taking some great pictures of the kids that you can then scan onto your magic band and have access to those pictures later. So they've done some really cool stuff there. And, yeah, I have some experience with that.
And I got to tell you, out of any of the attractions at Hollywood Studios or all the parks, the Star Wars cast members are incredibly into what they're doing. They are Jedi. They are evil stormtroopers, Darth Vader, or whatever. And they will never break character as much as any of the other characters. It's a really, really cool experience, even just to watch, like Jimmy was saying. And Sam, watching this is so cool because you're seeing these characters play their parts.
Yep,
definitely. And to Sam's point about the photographer, I would say I always recommend when I have clients booking a trip, I always recommend Memory Maker, but that's one more thing that just makes it so worth it. You get so many of those. Yeah, well, so many of those great shots that you're just not going to get of your kid up there with your camera phone or your – or even a good, decent camera, you're not going to get those shots that they're
getting. Oh, yeah, standing there with his lightsaber up against Darth Vader and or Darth Maul, and the photo pass photographer's taking the picture so you can watch it. That's even better.
Yep, I agree.
It's cool.
Okay, I think we have time for one more spin on the wheel.
This is fun. Let's keep going.
So I'll take my spin, And here we go.
I really want this to be okay.
That's okay.
All right, let it go.
I think we might have to do this again sometime.
We are going to have to. This will be recurring. For sure. And by the way, this is all off the cuff. We do not know what Ed's spinning here. It is literally spinning. And
it's slowing down.
I'm worried that I won't know what we're coming up with.
Soren. Oh, what a good one. What a good one. We lucked out today.
We did.
Guys, I got to tell you, we've done this a couple times where we have hit something that we literally could not even talk about. So I'm so happy tonight we hit three really good ones. So anyway, Soren, first thing in my mind, the new theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so excited. So excited. I was watching something just recently. I don't even remember what it was, but they previewed it with a little bit of the footage for the new film and talked a little bit.
So,
go ahead.
So the new film is definite. That's not even a question that when they open up this new theater.
Oh, no. It's definite. If you go to YouTube, to Disney Parks, there's a video that they did for the Disney Parks blog with some of the footage of the helicopter flying around and –
Excellent.
What is it called, Sam? It's like Soaring Around the World.
Around the World.
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, good.
Soaring
I was
Around the World way. Coming to Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resorts. And
I was going to say Soaring Around the World, but mostly in Florida and California.
Right. Well, the video that Jimmy's talking about, and by the way, if you just Google Soaring Around the World Disney Parks blog, you'll find the official YouTube video, and they show the helicopter flying over the Great Wall of China. So,
well, I do remember seeing footage probably about 6 months ago or a little bit more of like what they were doing and how they were filming it. But I never seen the commitment that it was going to be at the same time as the theater, which it had to be. I mean, there's really no reason to do them separately, but, you know, waiting to hear the commitment. Awesome.
And we speculated on this. And unfortunately, right now in January of 2016, if you go to Soarin', there's a big wall built across it. And I've seen pictures of it. And it just looks so sad because
it is.
Now, I got to imagine, how busy is the land right now?
You have to wonder.
Are people even going there? I mean, you know, is it a matter of you can go to breakfast and not get in a line?
Well, I was about to say the only thing that probably keeps the land busy is the fact that Sunshine Seasons is probably the best counter service location in Future World.
Right.
So
that's what
I would agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And while you're down there having lunch or breakfast, you might just hit the ride. Yeah.
You're going to hit the land. Are you going to watch the recycling movie?
No.
I really like the and we're getting off topic. We're going to get back to Soren, but I do really like the Lion King.
That's what he's talking about. The environmental fable.
That's got to go. I like that. We'll talk about that another time.
I'm glad.
But of course, guys, and you figured out Soarin' is at Epcot. It's in the Land Pavilion, and it's the probably one of the biggest draw rides that Walt Disney World has had for the past 10 years.
And it's amazing that it's going to be down for 6 months. Wow.
But
I did not see that coming.
In all fairness, I don't think it's – well, for most of us that have gone a couple times, I think it's just as well it's down. I have been not happy, and I even hate to say that. I love the ride. I'll go on it every time. But seeing all those little black dots and fuzzies and crap like that in
the hair,
the film itself. Right. It was definitely getting down. It was getting down. So this is the best news.
And when I noticed that the most, at Jimmy, is when I was in California at Disneyland, because they moved to digital projectors not long ago when Soarin' out there.
It's so ridiculous that they didn't have digital projectors in Florida.
Didn't
they even change Muppet Vision 3D to
I believe that they did in a recent
couple years ago.
Yes.
Well, that's one projector as opposed to two. maybe they had the plan for the
big
theater anyway.
Isn't that the big IMAX thing in there? There's got to be quite the investment, but we're
it probably is. And you know, maybe so that was the idea. Maybe they said, look, the film's getting bad, but you know what? We're thinking about revamping the whole attraction anyway. It's been here since 2005, so let's not invest any money in the current iteration. Let's just redo the whole thing.
Right, and why? Because people are still going to it in droves.
Yeah.
I have never been on – well, let me take that back. I have never been on the standby line for a wait of more than 15 minutes, meaning if I've ever gone on the standby, it was a lucky time of the day when nobody was online.
Sure.
Usually only fast pass it.
Yeah, me too.
And I've never played the game.
Me neither.
Because if I was on the standby line, I was zipping past that area or it wasn't even on.
I have played the game, and let me just tell you, it sucks.
Well, so
idea.
Like,
But that was the beginning. That was the beginning of all these QR.
Sure, and you know what?
Think about it.
The idea behind it is really, really cool. The part that sucks is you just can't have one or two people doing it. It all the things you have to interact as a group, and I get that's where they were going, but most of the people are sitting down and they're leaning against the wall and they're not.
Right, because they've been waiting in line for a half hour already.
Yeah.
And they already have another 40 minutes
to
go.
So I like the idea of the stuff in the queue, like it's space, let's say Space Mountain or the Mine Train better because, you know what?
Peter Pan.
Or Peter Pan because, you know what, if you want to sit back and not really participate, well, but I do, you don't affect me. In the Soarin' line, we kind of have to – everybody kind of has to do it together or it doesn't work properly.
Gotcha. I think seeing Patrick Warburton or Kronk for the first time I thought was incredible because the first time I had no idea.
Yeah, that's cool, buddy.
I do remember that. Sitting in the front row is always the best place to be.
Front middle, right?
Front center.
So you are on top and you don't see anybody's feet in your face?
I will say, you know, it's still not terrible to sit middle.
I agree. It's not terrible.
And I want to throw in, any seat really isn't bad. We've sat bottom row, far right, and you know what? There's a lot of extra stuff you don't see from the top row on the bottom part of the movie that was kind of cool to check out once or twice. It's not as good as sitting on the top middle, don't get me wrong, but definitely different. It's things you could check out if you've done it a couple times. So there's something to be said for that. The music is outstanding. I have it on my radio, my phone.
Yeah.
It's my playlist.
Yep. So here's my biggest question in this whole refurb.
They'll keep it.
Are they going to keep the music? Or are we going to get new music?
I don't know, but I see it. The worst I could see it going is like O Canada, where they modify it. I don't think they can get rid of it altogether. How can they?
I'm gonna say they're going to dump it.
I love that music. I listen to that song and I close my eyes and I know where we are.
I don't want them to. I just got a feeling that when they revamp it, they're going to.
You imagine the smell.
There's the oranges, it's not in the soundtrack, but there's the jets that go and fly by.
Well, and here come the jets, they are. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The helicopter just took off from the carrier.
Yeah. When you're listening to the soundtrack, you can visualize the film in your head. That's absolutely true. And you know what? That's all the more reason they probably should get rid of it.
There's more than one soundtrack. I just want to throw that out. There's more than one soundtrack. You can get a couple different versions of it, and there's one soundtrack that's so good that you hear everybody talking, meaning when you're going over the river with the fishermen in the beginning, you hear the fishermen talking back and the canoeists talking to each other. When the guy takes that snow dive off the big rock on top of the mountain, you hear him say, "I'm okay." As you're going over them. So there is a really good version out there that you can hear all these extra like little details.
All right, you're going to have to
surfer
give me a copy
dudes yelling?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That's the one I have on my phone.
Yeah, you definitely have to give me a copy. Send me a upload.
So, so it's, you know, playing in the car, super loud. Ah, it's great.
I may get an access.
So I said it before on the show, and I would love for them to do something here at Soarin' that's like they did at Star Tours, where it's not the same thing every time. And there's some randomizer that just, as the video clips come up, you're just in different places. And you, every time you ride it, it's a little bit different. And you see things that you didn't see. I think that would be so cool.
So with the theme of Soarin' around the world, you would think that there is enough short clips of footage that they could do that very, very easily.
Just think of all your landmarks, right? It's like going around the countries right there in Epcot. Go to the Eiffel Tower.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Or have the standard number. I mean, in Star Tours, we have two different places we can go, plus an ending or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have seven countries for every ride in Soarin'. They'd be the ones that switch up.
I still want to end at Disneyland, though. I love that. I love
it. Right, but now we can end at any Disneyland.
Sure, and end us in Shanghai and Paris.
And there you go. So with the randomizer, can change every time. No telling what fireworks show you may end up in.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I would love to see all of the Disney parks from like the air and the type of views like Soarin' gave us at Disneyland. So to me, that would be like an attraction in its own if you could do Soarin' over the Disney World. Disney quote-unquote world.
You know what would be really fantastic? I've got I showed you guys, but I bought those virtual reality, the Samsung gear by Oculus. Yeah. How cool would that be if I could get the Soarin' film on there?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Sure.
I did a roller coaster the other day that was at Universal, and it dude, I think
I get
intense.
Sick.
I almost got a little sick. That was the first time. That's the first thing I've watched that made me a little. It made me a little queasy, but it was very, very realistic with headphones.
Nice.
So,
awesome.
So thinking back here to Soren for a second, they've basically boarded it up all the way at the beginning of the queue, which means they could completely gut and redo this queue.
They've got to.
We know
there's going
to. They have to. We know that they're building a third theater. So when you go down that long stretch now, you go to the right or the left. If you look at Google Earth, you can kind of see where there's room back there, like it would be straight ahead, right or left. But I expect all of that to just be completely redone and rethemed, and maybe some cool things in the interactive queue now, which used to be sort of ho-hum because it's, let's face it, it's old at this point, right?
Sure.
Oh, sure. Well, they've got so much to draw on based on the Peter Pan and like the other ride queues. That I can't imagine it won't be, especially since, you know, Soarin' will be a huge ride line all
the
time.
Always.
But maybe something they'll do to alleviate that. I'd love to see some activities like the Seven Dwarfs ride. Those are very fun.
Yeah. Or maybe even something like they've done with Dumbo. Hey, you know what? Here's a little pager.
Go have some drinks.
You can go
later.
Off and you can do this. And you know what? When this goes off, you can come and skip the line. How about that?
Oh,
you know,
that's perfect. And now even go one step further than that now, where you have, because you've redesigned this entire ride, you've designed these new lines, queues, engineers have spent, you know, months and months figuring the best way to do this. Now they can regulate where the crowd's going to go to which theater and keep this line moving so that, you know what, you're basically going to walk down, get in your theater, get in your ride, sit down and, you know, get going. And maybe a little bit better coordination moves that line along faster. I don't know.
It's going to be
good.
We'll
see. It'll be better.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's definitely worth going on. It's something never to be missed. And this is a must do fast pass or rope drop.
All right.
Can't never pass up a rope drop opportunity, and Soren usually was it. It was the oddest thing having a fast pass I got before the park for Soren and being able to go left and go to test track first. I don't think I've ever done that before without these fast passes you can get ahead of time. Every time it would always be the Soren to at least get a fast pass, if not ride the ride then too. Because otherwise you get an hour into the day, Soren's out of reach almost.
Yeah.
And that's a definite.
Quickly.
Yeah. But again, one of those where even though it's so out of reach and it's such a pain in the ass to get on, it's so fun and worth it. I still love it.
So we still don't have an official reopening date for Soren. They're saying summer of 2016. You know, they're working as fast as they can to get this thing opened. But I'm going down in April, and gosh, I don't think it'll be open yet, but I sure hope it is.
Nah, not even close. I have a trip maybe planned. I have one for the end of June, so that's a possibility.
Possibility, yeah.
And we will see. Although summer can be anything. No problem, as you're going in a week or two.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Come on.
58 days.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. Anyway, so what did you guys think of the wheel attraction?
Spin it again, man.
That was fantastic.
Nah, I don't know. We can't do too much at once.
Well,
so
we'll do four.
We're going to hold
off.
When
Jen's back with us, we'll do four and let her spin one.
Hey, Sam, both of you guys, did you see the video on Facebook? The remote control little R2-D2 that has a projector and all built in?
Sure. So he's basically... They've had the DVD R2 for a long time. They just never had like the remote control moving around type guy.
So so you just can pop a Blu-ray into him and
oh,
he'll project.
Yes, I did see this.
He can tilt back and he'll project it on the ceiling.
Yeah,
on the wall.
Put the Blu-ray in him. Yes.
And the bonus was you can hook your game system up to him, too.
Yes,
and that's what it is. It's a projector in it. That's literally just what it is, one of those office or school projectors that you could hook anything up to, your
just
computer.
HD projector.
Yep. So that's pretty cool that he's running around. And I mentioned last week you guys mentioned about the R2s, remote control R2s, and how they can have them running around like push. Just real quick, before we get out of it, just wanted to let you know, when I was at the Smithsonian, they had a dozen R2-D2 units, all remote control, all moving around. They had some exhibition one day about robotics or something like that. So that guy is available, and he seems very easy to operate. So I would not be surprised to see a R2-D2 unit running around the parks.
So, and just, we posted the last episode and we had some talk about Star Wars in it. And one of our listeners, Matthew Young, commented on our page and said he was very interested in the backstory of the rogue title of the new movie. It was mentioned in a few places in Star Wars. The movie is focused on the rebels that stole the Death Star plans. But Jimmy was right that on Hoth, the Snowspeeders were all going by the Rogue call sign. Also, in the expanded non-canon universe, there was a whole comic series about Rogue Squadron, which was the elite X-Wing squadron led by Luke Skywalker.
They had a series of books also, Rogue Squadron.
That's awesome. I think it's fantastic. I just thought it was interesting. Too. So thanks, sure. Matt, for the feedback. We really appreciate any feedback. You make comments on our Facebook page, on anything we do. We'll try and read it here on a show and give you credit.
It's awesome. The only thing I'm hoping for in Rogue One, and I've seen some rumors to this, but no confirmation, I want more Darth Vader, man.
So, again, if you want to get in touch with the show or have a question, please email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. We'd be happy to ask your question on the show. And just remember, please put where your name and where you're from so we can credit you. And if you follow us on Facebook, the Disney Nerds podcast page, the group Disney Nerds, Twitter at the Disney Nerds, and Instagram at the Disney Nerds podcast.
Okay, guys. Well, that is it for show number 119. Thanks for listening to the Disney Nerds podcast. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Kwaharini.
Kongaloosh.